Well, hello to all the listeners out there of our Checkbook IRA Retirement Guardians podcast. Today we have a gentleman who we've talked to before, and our clients have had some extremely successful transactions with. We have Tony Robinson, who's a senior consultant with Benetrends Financial. He's been with them since 2010. He has a marketing degree from Temple University and has helped well over 1,000 entrepreneurs secure funding for their business needs through innovative Rainmaker Plan. And that Rainmaker Plan is from Benetrends Financial, that they have been the authority in business lending. And they've pioneered a plan so you can use your 401k or IRA rollover money to start a brand new business, and enables entrepreneurs to use their retirement funds to finance their business franchise without having to incur any upfront taxes. So, Tony, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you are today.
It's afternoon, Pete.
So, it's afternoon. So, okay. Well, yeah, I'm right in the central U.S. So I'm right in the cusp of afternoon right now.
So we're on the East Coast, right outside Philadelphia. So glad to have you back, Pete. Glad to have you back.
Super. Well, so you want to give me a little background of Benetrends and the clients it serves?
Sure. So, Pete, we have been helping entrepreneurs access mainly retirement funds since 1983. So we're real close to 40 years into this. And you kind of nailed it. What we do, we help people convert their 401ks, IRAs, pensions, 403bs, all types of retirement accounts into business capital without tax penalty or debt, as long as that money, again, is used to start or buy or, you know, use as working capital for a business or a franchise. Most of our clients are looking to become entrepreneurial. They are entrepreneurial. They're looking to, you know, start a business or get money for their existing businesses. So most of the people we're working with are truly entrepreneurial in their pursuits.
Well, you probably, you know, as you're aware of, because you've talked to a lot of our clients, you know, that mm-hmm. we've sent your way, that people, they have these large 401ks, or they have, you know, a bunch of IRAs. They want to, now they're going to retire, but they don't want to retire. And right. they want to start a business, or they want to start some legacy for their family. But with an IRA, you really can't use your IRA money to start a business without incurring tremendous taxation. Right. And you can't run a business, you know, the UBIT tax will kill you. And right. your system allows them to do that, to buy the franchise, working capital, everything with there. What are the prime candidates for your services?
Well, prime candidates are typically someone that's looking to use $50,000 or more in retirement funds as business capital. You know, and we're huge in the franchising space. We get a lot of people who are, they're going to buy a franchise. And either, you know, franchising is typically, it's a little tougher to get money to start a franchise. To walk into a bank, even especially in today's world, and say, hey, Mr. Banker, can you give me $300,000 to start this little restaurant yeah. franchise? You know, it's not happening that often. Banks are pretty tight right now. But if you have a 401k, an IRA, and maybe the banker says, hey, we'll give you some of the money, you know, then you can use that retirement money either to pay for the franchise in full or cover maybe a down payment or a cash injection towards a business. So okay. our clients, it's definitely business related. People are starting businesses and they're coming to us to look to get some capital.
Now, if I've got a business going and I want, say I've started a business, but I've got an old 401k that's laying around with mm-hmm. quite a bit of money in it, can I use that to infuse capital into my ongoing business?
You can, without a doubt. I'd say that's probably 20-30% of our business is people looking for working capital. You know, they have a business up and running and they just need some, they're expanding, or maybe they hit a tough spot with COVID and they just need some working capital to tie them over, or maybe they want to buy a building. You know, they just want to use their retirement money to help fund their business. And we can definitely help with that. There are some requirements as far as the corporate structure, and there needs to be a retirement plan in place, which we'll get into in a minute, but right. definitely using money for an existing business is something we can help people with.
Okay. You know, now why is this system better than SBA loans? SBA loans are very popular. I bought a golf course with an SBA loan. I mean, I had to have my kids live with the bank until I paid the loan back off. But right. actually, it was kind of nice. It was during their high school years.
There you go.
Yeah, but You know, explain that a little bit, because I know SBA financing is very popular with people. That's where usually their first stop, you know, when they get think about, you know, a business loan.
Right. So I would say it's not that this is better than an SBA loan, because I'd say probably 40% of our transaction, maybe even half our transactions are tied to some type of financing, be it SBA or
okay,
some other type of bank financing or seller financing. So SBA is still very viable, and it's a big part of what we do and how we help. But I would say this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. You know, so you can do SBA financing too?
You can. Yeah. We do. We have a finance team, then we do SBA loans. So we try to be a full service, one-stop location to get business financing.
Okay.
But as far as doing the ROBS transaction versus SBA, I'll say this. The ROBS transaction's much easier. I mean, it's quick. It's 2-3 weeks. It's done. Money's in your pocket, or not in your pocket, but money's in your corporate account, and you have full access and you're off and running. SBA? SBA, you're just getting started in a month. You know, you're really just hitting your stride in a month to get the funding. I mean, with SBA loans, we say give at least 90, and that's a good deal, 90 days. And sometimes it can be 120. I have some clients, we're 6 months in and you're still swinging away trying to get the money.
Right.
So SBA is by no means a quick, easy way to get access to capital. It's a good loan on the back end because rates are low, terms are fantastic. It just, the banks are not giving out money quick and easy. So it just takes time and a lot of effort to get an SBA loan. Whereas if you have retirement money already set aside, people are funded with our transaction in a couple of weeks. I mean, it's just funny. Some people come to us after they've been, you know, kicking around with an SBA loan for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. And they're kind of frustrated. They're kind of beaten down because the bank just hasn't come through. And they get to us and they have their money in 3 weeks and they're amazed at how quick and easy it is to get access to the capital. So it is a much quicker way to get access to capital, but better or worse, I'd say it depends on the situation.
Okay. Well, you can use your, you know, your retirement funds maybe as a part equity and SBA loan for the other. Okay. Yeah. I think one of the nice things, you know, you guys are experts in this. A lot of times, I mean, I found out a banker that was dealing with our SBA loan really, although they said they were familiar with them, they really weren't familiar with them.
Right.
They didn't know all the ins and outs. And, you know, it ends up being a logistical nightmare. And also during COVID times now, too, you know, people start working, you know, virtually. It seems like everybody's got the COVID excuse for taking 4 or 5 weeks more.
Well, that's true. I mean, and I tell you, COVID is a big reason SBA has gotten so slowed down. Because all these, there were the big PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, and the EIDL loans, all these government-related loans to help with COVID during COVID, and even now. All those loans were funded, and they were administered through the SBA. So the SBA is so bogged down with all the COVID-related loans and all the new loans they normally do that they can't move too fast. They just don't have the capacity to move quickly and do these things in an efficient manner. So, the rollover.
They were backed up before.
They were backed up before, and it's even worse now.
Right.
And it hasn't gotten a whole lot better because all those COVID loans are now either becoming grants and they're repayments are needed now. They have to start repaying, and there's questions on, do you have to repay it? Was it a grant or is it a loan? And the SBA has to figure all that out. So it's just a mess right now trying to get an SBA loan. It really does take a lot of time. And I mean really clean loans where you have a good solid 20% down, you have post-closing money, credit's excellent, the business is making money that they're looking to buy. The banks are just not rushing through these things. They make people earn these loans.
You know, and if you look at your service, how are you guys unique? You know, there's got to be other competitors out there. Maybe there isn't that, you know, you're the lone wolf in your arena, but I think banks try, you know, there's banks that are giving business loans, but you seem to be the gold standard for people using their retirement funds.
Yeah. I'd say in the rollover for business startup space, Benetrends has been at far longer and safer than anyone else in the industry. There are some other providers out there, but no one has been doing it as long and as safe as Benetrends. Plus, we have a lot of unique things that we can do. Our company is far more creative. You know, it's pretty interesting what some things that can be done. There's a, I don't know if you saw this story a couple of weeks ago. This gentleman named Peter Thiel, who's a
founder.
And that's
You want to get into that right now?
Well, it's a good segue.
Because this is one of the reasons I wanted to chat with you today, because I read that article and you had said, you know, you had brought it up to us that, you know, it's a possibility to use the ROBS with the, you know, to use a ROBS with a Roth IRA or 401k.
Right. Well, with Roth funds.
Roth funds. So let's talk about that, because that's something that, I mean, right now people are saying, gosh, you know, how can I pay as little or no taxes?
That's true. Cause, you know, it's a common saying around here. It's not how much money you make. It's how much you can keep.
Yeah.
That's the important part. And the Roth component to these retirement plans can just be phenomenal for aggressive growth companies or companies that have time. You have 10, 15, 20 years, let your company grow. The Roth component can be phenomenal. So I'll mention Peter Thiel again, because he's the guy who founded PayPal and was also one of the early investors in Facebook. So needless to say, this guy, he's a smart guy.
A legend. Right? He's a legend.
Yeah. A legend. He's a legend. Yeah. PayPal and Facebook right there. If you got that on your resume, I think it's safe to say you know what you're doing. But anyway, his initial investment in PayPal was $2,000 back in 1998. And he was a smart guy. He put this $2,000 in this little startup company, and he did it with Roth money. He made a Roth retirement plan investment for his startup money into PayPal. So fast forward to 2021, that $2,000 Roth investment, now worth $5 billion.
It's just mind-blowing.
And that's the crazy thing about it, Pete, the $5 billion, because he paid tax on $2,000 of it, that other $5 billion is tax-free. So it is just a mind-blowing scenario to think about, but it can be done. Just has to be set up properly on the front end, but it can be done to just... I mean, just think about it. The guy's got $5 billion coming to him tax-free.
Oh, now, I would imagine.
I know that's...
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. I don't
know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm going, oh, my gosh. You know, Congress is going to see that, and they're going to try and plug this Roth loophole.
Yeah, I think that there has been some conversation, because it's definitely an eye-opening article to read. And if anybody wants to, I can forward it to people if they want to contact me. I can kind of give them an idea of how it works. But the thing about that transaction, he's just a really smart guy. This is right when Roth was just starting. So he was ahead of the curve on this. But and to think to go from 2000 to 5 billion, that's a once in a generation kind of investment. But I'll give you another more relatable story. I had a gentleman 2018, maybe just recently, a couple of years ago, came to us, and he was in the fracking industry, oil and natural gas.
Uh-huh.
And what he wanted to do, he has this technology. Young guy, I'm mid-30s, so barely young guy, didn't have a ton of retirement money, but he was in the oil and natural gas industry, and he had this great idea, this great invention, where he could help oil companies know where to frack. And fracking is when you have to dig in the ground, basically, and find where natural gas and oil is. A lot of water, a lot of effort, a lot of time goes into fracking. And one of the hardest parts about it is knowing where to do the fracking at.
Oh, predictability,
predictability, knowing where you're going to put all this time and effort and hopefully get a return on it. And quite often you're not getting a return. You're digging, you know, hundreds of, if not thousands of feet into the earth and not coming back with any kind of return. So you're putting a lot of money and time and effort into it. Our client found a way to really shorten that time frame down. He had a really good technology that could tell people where to frack pretty quick and easy. And it was successful. So he started a company, $50,000. $50,000 was his startup money, because it was more technology, more intellectual property than anything else. So he didn't need all this equipment, didn't need a ton of money. $50,000 investment, took $5,000 of his IRA, put it into the business. So $45,000 personal, $5,000 retirement. We converted his retirement investment to a Roth account. It was traditional pre-tax money going in. We converted it to Roth. So he paid a little bit of a tax on that $5,000. Now, we're not going to give you exact numbers, but ballpark numbers. A couple of years ago, so he did this a couple of years ago. Just last year, about 3 years later, he sold 14% of his $5,000 investment for upwards of $500,000. And the smart thing he did, he sold the investment through his Roth account. So that $500,000, so keep in mind, it was worth $5,000
right,
just 3 years ago. 14% of it now is worth $500,000.
Tax-free.
And all that $500,000 is going into his Roth account. So it's tax-free because he paid tax on the $5,000 up front. So it is just, these things can really be life-changing. You know, they can be just phenomenal, just mind-blowing. But you have to set them up properly. You have to have the right expertise to get these things in a position where you can do it.
Well, and that's and that's
more,
what you
more
said
importantly, where you can maintain it on the back end as well.
You know, Tony, you said set up properly. You've said this a few times. I think it really should be noted, you know, that setting up properly is so important. And because we see it in our industry on a daily basis where somebody has had a friend, you know, maybe had their attorney who's a real estate attorney, but they set up a checkbook IRA. Well, they didn't do the operating agreement right. Now, all of a sudden, they've got $200,000 taxable occurrence. And it's, and in your, especially in, you know, your industry, you know, setting it up correctly, you know, first of all, you've got the knowledge and the know-how and the background and the templates to do it without having to, you know, try and reinvent something. So you've done that. And it's also, you know, it's a proven entity. It's a proven entity rather than trying to, you know, when you're messing around with retirement funds, you know, you don't want to, you don't want to take it and, you know, have somebody, I'm not going to say a rookie, because there are a lot of people that are very good, very long-term in their field, but they just don't specialize in this.
Right. And Pete, I couldn't agree with you more. That is the key. You know, you want to make sure you're working with a company that fully understands the implications of these things. Our company's been at it close to 40 years. There are close to 100 people that work here. We have our founder and chairman of the board, a gentleman named Leonard Fisher. He's a ERISA retirement plan attorney. He and his staff work out of the office. We have a compliance team. We have an actuarial team headed by an IRS enrolled actuary. There are about 30 retirement plan analysts that work here. Their job is to make sure all the plans stay compliant. We have over 8,000 active clients. So really working with a company that can support these types of things. The ideas are there. They're just written in the ERISA and the IRS code. So the ideas are solid and legal, and you can do them. It's just making sure they're done properly. That's key. And then probably even more important than that is just making sure they're maintained. You know, you have to keep them maintained, because you can bet 20 years from now, when you go to cash your $2,000, you know, Roth IRA out and it's $5 billion, IRS is going to want to take a real close look at that and see, see how you got there, right?
Yeah,
they're going to raise some eyebrows, you know?
Right.
And you just want to make sure you're working with a company that can support that, can show how it was done and make sure it was all done by the black and white letter of the law.
Well, do you want to give us kind of a little overview of the process? If somebody's interested, what would they have to go through? I want to buy a franchise. I'm going to buy a Burger King franchise.
Sure.
And I got my purchase agreement. I come to you. Okay, Tony, what do I do?
Sure. So just a standard rollover for business startup transaction, which we call our Rainmaker plan.
Right.
The mechanics are pretty simple. First and foremost, the operating entity for the business needs to be a C corp.
Yeah.
So that's really the first step. Set up a C corp in the state our client's going to operate the business in. Next step, they need to set up a company retirement plan. So we'll have a conversation with our clients. And when all is said and done, we're going to have some type of company plan. Could just be a profit sharing retirement plan, a 401k plan, some type of defined benefit account. But key is there needs to be a retirement plan tied to the corporation. So you have a C-Corp. C-Corp opens a qualified retirement plan. Our client, who's going to be an employee of the company, that's important. If you're going to do the investment, I think this is where our transaction kind of differs from yours, Pete.
Yeah.
In our world, the investor needs to be a full-time employee. So it has to be somebody that wants to be hands-on, owner-operator.
In our world,
and work at least 1,000 hours a year.
Right.
Right. And that's a big difference. That's why our relationship's good, because I can refer clients to you who come to me that are a little too passive in what they want to do. And you can refer clients to us that are being too active. They want to buy a franchise and be the owner-operator, and you know, that's not good. Even buying a franchise, even if you don't want to be involved, the UBIT, like you mentioned earlier, is probably going to be a big problem.
Exactly.
Right. But for us, the client does need to be, they need to want to be full-time, hands-on, working for the business for at least 1,000 hours a year. So you get a C-Corp, company plan. Our client, as an employee of the company, opens an account in the company plan. Once they do that, it's pretty easy. They now just take some of their existing 401k or IRA money they currently have, roll it over into the new plan. And then once that money gets in the new plan, they get to invest it as they would with any other retirement account. They get the investment in their retirement account. And the real key to this type of financing is we make company stock. We make their C-Corp stock an investment option for the company retirement plan. So they take that rolled over money and they use it to buy stock in their own company. So C-Corp gets the cash, money flows into the corporation, right into the corporate checking account. And it is a checking account our clients have to go out and establish the bank of their choice. So they have full control and full access to the funds. And in exchange for that money, the C-Corp issues some of its private company stock. And then that C-Corp stock is now moved into the retirement plan in exchange for the cash. And at that point, Pete, it's done. Money's in the corporate account. Client can use it to, you know, buy a franchise, start a business, do an acquisition. As we talked about earlier, SBA down payment money, you know, whatever they need for the business, they have access to the money directly in the corporate account. And then as everything moves forward, they're holding their ownership in their company's retirement plan.
Okay. So they start this before they actually buy the franchise, if they're using that money to buy the
franchise. Yeah. Well, without a doubt. Yeah. People are doing this well in advance because it does take, you know, a couple of weeks to get it all coordinated. It takes a little bit of time. So most people come to us, there's something either imminent, you know, they have a contract or they're real close to it, and they'll get started with us and we'll put all the mechanics together in a couple of weeks and then they'll have access to the funding. So yeah, this does come first before they can buy the business.
Okay. So, and now in this type of situation, you know, we got a lot of real estate investors that have, you know, they've got rental properties of their own that are outside their retirement plan. So they could actually come in and they could start a C corp with that business and they could actually do some of this and have both, you know, have their 401k invest in different houses too, correct?
So real estate gets a little bit tricky. Real estate's so in our world, an operating business is important. So if you're opening up a Burger King, right, there's no question about the good or service being provided. If you're opening up a car detailing place or you're buying a franchise, in most cases, all those things are very active, hands-on type businesses where there's no question about what good or service is being provided. Real estate, you know, our compliance team gets a little bit of back and forth conversation on real estate transactions. So I'll tell you what does work, Pete. What does work for us is fix and flip. If you have a client that wants to buy a property and they're going to renovate, and then they're going to turn around and sell it, you know, within 3 months or so, or whatever time it takes to get it back on the market. They're not looking for a tenant, basically. They're not looking to rent it out. They want to sell it. That works. That works all the time because that's an active business. Buying, renovating, and selling is active. Rental properties can be problematic because rental can be very passive, right? If somebody's renting out a condo and they're getting, you know, $1,500 a month rent, and that's the extent of it, there's not a lot of activity going on there. It's kind of a passive way to make money. And that's not good for our transaction. So for rentals, it's case by case. If somebody tells me, hey, I'm going to have 10 rentals and I'm going to be the superintendent and I'm going to go in and fix the toilet and draw up lease agreements and clients are going to call me with landscaping issues and things like that, that can work. Yeah. We have to, you know, there's definitely a conversation with the client to make sure it does work. They understand the requirements. So rentals is case by case.
Okay.
But it really has to be substantial. It needs to be substantial. Right. I'll tell you what's popular now, and probably yours too, is Airbnb and VRBO.
Oh, yeah.
Those things, very popular. We see a lot of conversations about that. But our concern is there's just not a lot of business activity with a Airbnb.
And Airbnb, somebody else they still qualify for our service. So we haven't had as much call for that unless somebody... I'm going to use an example. A good friend of my daughter's, they've got, you know, they manage about 50, you know, rental properties down the Phoenix area, and where they actually have a, you know, property management business. And, you know, they could, where they actually go in and fix them, they do everything, where they don't qualify for our service once even close to it. But something like this might work for them, I would think.
Or you got it. Something like that. Yeah. With 50 properties, if they're managing it, they're going out taking care of the properties and the lease agreements and and handling all the customer questions and concerns, that could work. We could look at right. that, and that probably would work. But if it's three properties or four properties, you know, 50 is different.
Oh, I would think, that's where they're absolutely working on. Well, I'll tell you what.
And it's good if, like, this is going to be their full-time job. If somebody says, hey, Tony, I don't have a 9-to-5. This is what I'm going to do on a full-time basis, and that's better. But, but real estate is definitely a little more of a conversation about real estate transactions than with just buying a business.
Right. Okay. Well, super. Well, I really appreciate your time today. And it really, you know, it explains that what I really wanted to talk about today, you know, was using the Roth, because that's becoming more and more prevalent, you know, in today's world, and how you can do it. Now, you had said one thing too about using the Roth. You don't want to do the conversion right away. You want to wait till you're in business a year. Is there, what would the reason for that be?
Well, it depends on the scenario. If it's somebody that's making a fairly small investment up front, like if somebody needs, like the guy we talked about, $5,000 investment, don't even wait. Just go ahead and convert it year one. Probably safer to do it in year one than wait.
Right.
But if somebody needs to, say you're putting in $200,000. And you're going to use all retirement, and you want your $200,000 business to be captured in a Roth account so it grows tax-free. So when you sell it 10, 15, 20 years down the road, all the gains on that business are tax-free. With something like that, to pay a tax on $2,000 up front, you know, that's a pretty good number. 30% on $200,000, that's what, $60,000? So some people might say, that's a big tax hit to take in 1 year.
Right.
So what might make sense, depending on the scenario, definitely a conversation we'd have, but let's say you buy a $200,000 franchise year one. Odds are at the end of year one, because we're going to need to do a valuation each year on the business. That's one of the IRS requirements. There needs to be a valuation. It's part of our service, but there needs to be a valuation. So let's say end of year one, that $200,000 investment's now worth $150,000. Because with a new business, you have a lot of upfront costs for year one, that, you know, one-time costs that you don't have to pay for again, you know, your equipment, all those things that you can bring the value down. Probably don't have a ton of clients because it's a startup business. So the revenue may not be as strong, probably not as strong as it will be in the future. So with a new business, odds are after year one, value is lower, right? So let's say that $200,000 business is now worth $150,000. Better to do a conversion on $150,000 than $200,000.
Right.
The tax bite's going to be lower on $150,000 versus $200,000. So maybe you wait to the end of year one and then do the conversion once you have the valuation done. So you'll save some money in that regards. Or you don't have to do it all in a lump sum. You can do it piecemeal. So you might say, hey, this year I'll convert 20% of the business to Roth. So you just pay tax on 20% of the investment to convert it to Roth. Year two, you do another 20%. So now into year five, you've converted the full amount to a Roth account. And again, the beauty is you put $200,000 into the business year one, you convert it to Roth. You grow it for the next 10, 15, 20 years. You sell it for $1 million. Because you paid the tax on the $200,000, or hopefully lower, but because you pay the tax on that amount, that $800,000 gain, then the difference between that $200,000 and that $1 million, that $800,000 gain, can be tax-free because it's in a Roth account. So you save tax on $800,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, it can just be.
Definitely a conversation.
Roth is, Roth is awesome.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, when we start talking about some of the numbers, especially, I'll tell you what it's really good for as well. Like the guy with the fracking business, people who are making small investments. Right. You know, if you think, hey, I can start this business for $20,000, $10,000, and you really think you can scale it, why not put it in a Roth account? You know, why not put your ownership in a Roth account so it can grow tax-free? Just an idea, but definitely a good conversation to have when you're getting ready to go into business. There are some really tax efficient structures you can put your business into to really set you up for a great retirement when all is said and done. Because again, not how much you make, it's how much you can keep. And if you can keep it in a tax-free account, it can just be phenomenal.
Right. Well, that's super. Well, tell you, if somebody wants to talk to you, how do you get a hold of you?
Sure. So my direct dial here, Pete, is 267-328-1316. Again, 267-328-1316. Again, it's Tony Robinson, not the motivational speaker. It's Robinson, R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N. So Tony Robinson, with Benetrends Financial. You know, I work all the time. That's my direct dial. So anytime it's good to give me a call and we can discuss things. You know, if you have something that's imminent, you need money to start a business, we can talk about that. Or if you just want to have a conversation about ways to get into a efficient tax structure for the business, we can discuss that as well.
Well, super. And also too, you know, we've got a page for Benetrends on our website, checkbookira.com. You can find out more information there or get a hold of me too at peter@checkbookira.com and I'll refer you to Tony. So, hey, Tony, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. I know you're busy and Mondays are always a busy day. I appreciate you carving out some time for us.
No worries, Pete. I always have time for you guys. I do appreciate what you do for us and you know, continued good fortune and good health, especially.
Good.
So a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.